You're listening to Sports Tech Feed, the global sports technology podcast.
Hello and welcome to Sports Tech Feed. I'm your host, Thomas Alomes. Thanks again for joining us this week. On today's show, we have Jeff Wilson, sport strategist and co-author of the Fan Journey Model. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thomas, thank you so much for having me on the show. Really looking forward to having a discussion with you. I think it's always good to have the discussion around sport, sport on the business side, so that people can get maybe something from it, and that helps the overall industry.
Yep, definitely. I mean, that's what we're here for, and we'll obviously be talking about the technology side as well. So just for a brief overview for our listeners, can you give you a background to the work you do and who you do it for in terms of some of your clients?
Great, yeah. So my background is I worked at the Irish Football Association here in Belfast. I think that's quite important because that sort of reconfirms and solidifies the working in an actual sports environment. So that's been really 10 years there as the head of marketing and communication. So there, that was doing everything from not only commercial fan engagement, but also activities such as event management, strategy for the Irish Football Association here in Belfast. And after being there for 10 years, we did lots of very interesting projects. We did live streaming. We did integration of Facebook in terms of our online shop. And this is going back 15, 20 years. And so really innovative and really interesting areas. And in essence, about 10 years ago, I decided to go out on my own as a sports strategist. And now I work with the likes of FIFA, UEFA, the Asian Football Confederation, FIBA and World Basketball, the UAE Dubai Pro Sports League, the Basketball Champions League, and a few others like IMAF and the International Mixed Martial Arts. So range of different global sports, mainly with a federation, league or club focus. And what I do for them is I help them to create strategic plans, a roadmap, marketing activity, governance, league and club development, both for them as a corporate and for helping to really grow the sport of either football, basketball, MMA, and a few other ones for those countries. So it's really exciting. Really enjoy doing that. I've been to 95 countries. So bringing all that experience together, and really it's great. And I get a buzz out of seeing sport develop and sport grow in various countries.
Great. Well, so focusing on that, as you said, the rights holder, whether that be leagues, teams, national federations, governing bodies. And one of the things you put around strategy is putting together some strategic tools. So in a lot of other industries, that is probably a lot more advanced than in sports. So actually going, what are some tools, some models, some maps, some essential ways of thinking strategically? You've done a fan engagement one. You've also, which I've used before. We're going to put that in the show notes, but also a kind of data maturity one. There's a whole bunch of tools that you've put together, and the latest is the fan journey model. So can you give a little bit of an overview on what the fan journey model is, who's it for, and how do they best use it?
Yeah, I think that maybe it's interesting, Thomas, just to start off, people would say, well, why are you doing this? And I think when you've been to 95 countries and you meet some amazing people, you get that knowledge and experience. I mean, I'm maybe not the most brightest person, but when you get that knowledge and all of that experience across those 95 countries, you end up getting commonalities and areas that you can start to put into a model. And I think putting it into a model, that more academic side, is quite interesting when you have a model that's deeply related and deeply embedded into the real life examples. And I think that's really important to mention up front, having an academic model that is based on real life, on the ground type experiences. And this is one thing that we did. I co-created with my good friends, Mark Bradley and Darren Young at the Fan Engagement Company. And we have been working with a number of different sports, both in rugby, in football, in basketball, and a whole range of different sports. And we had a conversation, and we then started to go to a number of different major events. And on the back of those major events, we started to see key, in essence, touch points that goes through as a fan on the journey in the build-up to match day or game day and during match day or game day. And that's, in essence, what we did is we created that fan journey model, which I can go through later on with you. But that, in essence, is what we did. We took all of that knowledge and experience of actually physically doing it, and then we decided to put it into a model that we could share with the industry.
Yeah, so it's about the game day experience. I mean, I guess the end-to-end fan experience when attending a sporting event, and putting that into a map where teams, leagues, stadium operators can go along and check at each touch point that they're having with their fan, what needs to be considered. So could you maybe just step through some of the highlights of that, and also how the methodology of a net promoter score factors into that?
Yeah, great question. So what we did when we went through in the shoes of the fan, and this is really important, getting in the shoes of the fan. So it's that audit, that assessment, rather than a survey. It is you or a number of people stepping into the shoes of the fan to actually sample the experience. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes in sport, we seem to be okay with having an okay experience. And I believe those days have gone. I believe that we need to raise the experience, not least because there's so many other people grabbing the attention of your fan to spend their time or money with them, but also that's what it should be done to increase the brand, the experience, so that they tell more people more often. Let me put it this way. If I was a guest in your house, Thomas, you probably would clean the house. You probably would buy some nice food. You probably will put on your best clothes. And you might even take out the best cutlery, the best cup and saucers. And you might even bring out the board games to ensure that I've had a great night. And when you leave, you're almost saying, hopefully you enjoyed that night. And that is a guest. So why should we not be doing the same as a sports organization, treating the fan as a guest? Because when you treat them as a guest the way you would do in your home house, there's a different experience that you want to deliver. So to do that, we created this fans journey model. And for me, that's about looking at before the game, heading to the game, when you're before the game, during the game, leaving the game, and after the game. There's about 11 touch points. And what we said we need, there needs to be two areas. In each touch point, a must do, and must do right. And then you have the wow factor, which is the second area. The wow factor makes people feel really passionate and drawn to your brand. So the must do, you've got to get right. The wow factor is where you are really giving that experience a real rush, a real adrenaline, and making it special. So to add a little bit of meat on those bones, for example, when you are outside the venue, is there a welcome team that's saying, welcome to this event stroke venue stroke stadium? Is there activities for the fan to do, and what is the level and the breadth of those fan activities? Is there a good, clear signage to get you around, especially if you're there for the first time? How accessible is it to find your gate and to get into the gate through the ticketing? How spacious is it in that area? So when I went with my son to Man City, when we went up to the Etihad, there was a welcome person in a blue t-shirt with welcome team, and they had a football. And they first of all said, welcome to the Etihad. Simple. And they put the ball down. They asked where I was from. I said I was from Belfast. What was my name? What was my son's name? Talked about the match. And they just then played a bit of football with us outside the stadium. Well, they made me and my son feel special. And for example, I'm telling it to you and your listeners a number of years later. And it was so simple of having that welcome, warm welcome, and using that those key experiences to have that wow factor to make it special. So just to summarize, there is 11 steps, and in the 11 steps, there's a number of points that you need to measure against. And each time that you measure against it, you do a score of 1 to 10. And really, we want it to be at the 9 or 10 mark. 7 and 8 is not good enough. And when you're at that 9 and 10 mark, you measure and you assess it as a fan, and you grade it on a assessment document, and you identify the recommendations. So what's the range of food and beverage? What's the quality of food and beverage? How quickly was it served? Well, how polite and well-served were the staff? Was there vegetarian options? How hot was the food? Etc., etc., etc. To this level of detail that it makes you understand what the experience is like, so that you create a net score, so that at the end of it, you can produce a report for the board or for your senior team to be able to say, these are areas of touch points we have to get right, and here's the recommendations that we now need to improve that overall experience for the fan.
Yep. So that, in terms of that, and that's the score out of 10 is a net promoter score. So how likely someone is going to share that with friends, family, peers, whoever else, in terms of if they have an amazing experience, they'll become someone like you, an advocate for the experience, they'll tell others, and that compounds. So that's where that sits. But how does this fit for different fan groups? So for example, one of the things you've listed is the mascot presence out the front, or that welcome team. So for families, I'm sure they care about that, is where's the mascot. But then for, say, if it's a group of friends coming in, they might be more interested about where can they get the next beer, and how quickly is it to get that drink. So how do you then segment it down? Is it going through it multiple times with different personas? So walking through as if I was a young family, as if I was a 50-year ticket holder who knows where everything is in the stadium. Is that how you segment it down?
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting approach that I know that we've done in the UAE Pro League recently, where they actually got a family to sample it in the family shoes. They got a 16-year-old to sample it in a 16-year-old, and they got a male and female adult to sample it. And that brought back different views for each one, because, as you say, they were looking maybe something different. So that is what's happened in like the UAE Pro League, where they have measured it based on the profile of the fans that go, to ensure that there's a real interest. So that is definitely one way. But the other thing is, what we've got to remember, even if there is a mascot, is the mascot engaging not only with the older fan, not only with the families and the younger fans, but are they engaging with maybe someone who's passionate about the club? And that mascot, what can they do as that wow factor just for them? That might be going up as the mascot and maybe giving them a voucher for food and beverage, because they have worn the home team's top. Something that is, again, using that mechanism to really provide that wow factor. is it something that you can create a show, like a Disney show, a Disney musical with the mascot, that different people that are fans can come together and can really engage and be entertained with? So there is two ways of doing it. One, you go in the shoes of the fan, but no matter what it is, you still need to do these things right. Look after the mascot. That still needs to be right. It just cannot be somebody dandering around the stadium that even the mascot looks uninterested. What are you getting the mascot to do that actually engages your key fans?
Yeah, so I mean, there's so many touch points on this journey where technology can have a massively positive impact. But sports teams, owners, venues, they need to know where that is. So that's where I see one of the benefits of this is identifying the pain points on it. So, I mean, from your experience, where has technology been most impactful on this fan journey?
Yeah, I think there's a number of areas. I think, first of all, and in no particular order, ticketing. And that is whether that's, the experience of ordering a ticket. Have you got a ticketing? Have you actually looked at the process of buying a ticket online? Is it 9 steps before you actually get the purchase? Or is it like Amazon, that once you're registered, it's literally 1 or 2 clicks? Because as individuals, that becomes a set standard. So how do you make sure we bring that into football, that it's not, or rugby or NFL or NHL or NBA, that it's not a whole big process that actually turns off the fan because it's so long? So I think online ticketing, but that online ticketing also is how you gain access. So gaining access to the venue as ticketless systems. So there's no queues to make sure that the queuing is better. I think cashless payment, I think that's happened because of COVID, has ramped up. People are now just want to touch their card machine with their card and do it in super quick time. Why? Because at breaks, they don't have time to queue. So they want to speed up that cashless payment. I think simple Wi-Fi and having strong Wi-Fi is extremely important to make all of these elements happen. And on the back of that Wi-Fi is the stadium or the club app. But that app needs to have other areas such as ordering food, as well as your ticket, as well as the stats, as well as potentially augmented reality. When I was at the FIFA World Cup in Qatar, I was able to have the FIFA app and I was able to put a piece of augmented reality that when it looked at the pitch, it then kicked in the technology that allowed me to identify the players, their past, their history, their key data, what team they played for, so much so that a person behind me said, "Excuse me, where did you get that app?" And I was able to tell them it's on the FIFA app. So I think there are areas that through the app with augmented reality, but also the app in terms of, looking to order your food, also queue management, car parking management, cashless payments, online ticketing are some of those areas that I think are really helping to, let's say, improve that overall experience where you are at.
And is it, so this is something that around implementation of technology. So I bring it back to all the touch points on this fan journey. There's all these places that technology could be used to make it better. And then there's, I guess, getting a hierarchy of needs out of that. Like, where is it really going to make an impact? So something around, say, food and beverage, in terms of technology, that's something that is going in leaps and bounds. You have the Amazon Just Walkout technology. You've got a bunch of other kind of providers in the space that are doing things. Even at the collegiate level here in the US, you've got the, when you walk through, you place it on a plate, computer vision recognizes what the products are and then you pay it. So it's not completely frictionless like Amazon, where you scan your palm, you walk in, the AI tracks who you are by facial recognition, then you walk back out. You literally don't have to speak to anyone. You don't have to touch anyone. The thing is, and I'm not sure if this is something that you've seen, when those solutions are introduced, you have just as many people who would be doing the serving of the food standing around onboarding users to make them understand it. So is that something that, I guess, in this fan journey is allowing for that short-term pain kind of impact of having to educate users for a long-term efficiency gain?
Yeah, you can see in the model, there's a gray bar right across the bottom of just above where the 12 touch points are. And it says people. And in that bracket, it's that proactive and engaging. So not only should do the stewards, and those people are the staff within that stadium or venue. And that is what we mean by people, those staffing stewards. And that is whether that's onboarding the use of technology, i.e. I will show you how to use augmented reality at this game tonight. Whether that is, I will show you how to do contactless payment. I will show you how to, you know, find your seat using the app. So people will have a part to play, but those people need to be educated. They need to have the training. They need to have customer service training. They need to be welcoming, and even simple things go beyond the call of duty. Have that smile, be able to physically take somebody by the hand. When I was at the World Cup, I was lost, and somebody, actually one of the stewards, actually took me directly to where I needed to go. They took me around the stadium exactly where I wanted. I felt that it was personal service to me. So not only the onboarding, but still the traditional bit, people stroke staffing are absolutely vital. So for me, technology will play a part in all of this journey. That might mean ticketing and the quickness of the ticketing and how ticketing is sent to you. That might be artificial intelligence in terms of game day content. That might be in terms of the app for parking, the app for transportation, the app for ordering food. That might be in terms of getting inside the stadium. That might be in terms of ordering your food. There are so many areas that the app will, or technology will, play a part in this area. For me personally, I think this, the future, we will all have a chip under our skin, and that chip will be your passport to get to the inside a country. That chip will have the data of your ticket. It will, by the palm of your hand, get you inside the stadium. Then with personalization and beacon technology, it will be able to transfer the chip information to your phone to say, do you want a burger? And by the way, I know the way you like your burger because you've ordered the same burger 10 times in other venues. So just click this button, and that exact same burger with the exact same sauce will be around the corner waiting for you. And it will also tell you what your heart rate is when your home team scores a goal. And every other element, it will be, that chip in your body will be totally linked to your phone with all of this information. And that chip will be linked to that many other connected devices that will be always feeding into that, data about you that makes that experience even more personal. And I think that is exactly where we'll be heading in the next number of years. But we still need to map out the journey. We still need to see where those pain points are. And we need to use not only technology, but human interaction to make sure that's a great experience. so that fans will want to come back time and time and time again. And even better, they'll bring their friends and their family because the experience is so good.
Yeah. I think, I mean, I agree in principle where it's going. I personally don't think it's going to be a chip embedded. I think that, for example, with Amazon and what they can do with palm reading and facial recognition and then everyone having a portable device with them, I think that, yeah, but it will be that data sharing, as you said, kind of beacons, knowing where someone is, geolocating and saying, well, you're near this, offering that. The contextual and timely promotion and offering, I think that's something that there's a lot of exciting runway there. So not only offering the right thing for you as an individual based on your interests, behavior, and history, but offering it at the right time. I think that's a really, really interesting space that can be, has a lot of runway to go in terms of how the technology is used. And there's probably some people that would push back and say it's a bit of a brave new world, but I think that's happens anytime new technology is introduced. And also at the end of the day, if it works and it adds to the experience, which comes back to the fan journey model, if it's hitting one of those points, one of those friction points, touch points, then people are going to be willing to actually opt into it. So yeah, definitely agree with what you said there. And it's great to have these models and these, as you said, academic kind of basis, but what's used a lot in management consulting is just ways of thinking is how I like to put it. So a cogent roadmap that someone working for one of these sporting organizations can use as a tool when they're trying to improve this for their fans, for their staff, and everyone else who's involved. So thank you for putting that together, Jeff. And we've run out of time here, so I want to go with our final question that we ask all of our guests, which is, what is your favorite sporting moment of all time?
Yeah, great question. My favorite sporting moment of all time is when Northern Ireland beat England at Windsor Park in a qualifying match. England came with, you know, 60 million people, Northern Ireland 1.8 million people, and David Healy scored the goal to beat England 1-0. It was a real David and Goliath story, and everybody talked about it. And I was at that game, and the atmosphere, I've never seen that atmosphere in that stadium, which was an old stadium at the time, but you're doing it with your country's passion, being passionate about the country that you're from. And it was just so unexpected. Special time.
Fantastic. I mean, as an Australian, when England get beat, it's always special. Like sporting rivalries that I think a number of other countries can appreciate, but all in good humor. So thank you so much for your time, Jeff. I'll make sure I include the link to the fan journey model and also some of your other models and maps in the show notes. So I would definitely say if you've been through this and you haven't looked at that, go back and look at that. It'll give you a bit more context, but it's a great tool. And thank you again for being on the show, Jeff.
Thanks, Thomas. Keep up the good work.